Tonight on Arena, Alanis Morissette, Mary Chapin Carpenter and Lila Moss are the albums up for review. And we talk to the poet, Michael Longley. You can text us on 51551 or tweet at RTE Arena. The Candlelight Master is a new collection from Michael Longley, the Belfast poet best known for award-winning works such as Gorse Fires, The Weather in Japan and The Stairwell. His latest books revisits themes Longley has made his own over the years, including war from the ancient Greeks to the present day and the natural world. While other poems are addressed to friends and family and to other artists. Michael Longley joins me now from Belfast. So nice to talk to you, Michael.
And to you.
Michael, the collection, as I said, is called The Candlelight Master. What is a Candlelight Master?
Well, the Candlelight Master was a Baroque master of painting. He was a master of candlelight effects. Nobody knows his name, so because of his candlelight skills, he's known as the Candlelight Master. And in a way, I adopt his persona with a mixture of pride and humility, I hope. It's a very short poem,
yes,
shall I read it?
Please do, Michael, yes.
I am the Candlelight Master, striking a match in the shadows, a smoky wick, then radiance. I am the Candlelight Master. It doesn't need to be any longer than that.
No, indeed it doesn't. So so you go from the smoky wick then to radiance. So that's your job, really.
I suppose that's what art should do. Yes, I think so.
Now, you make the parallel a lot in the collection between the role of the visual artist and the poet. Even before we get into the poems, you quote Juan Miro in when he says, "And what looks like a zigzag is really a straight line." Why that line from Miro?
Oh, well, it's meant to be suggestive. I suppose what I'm saying or implying is that this may look like a jumble of poems, but underneath it's a straight line. It's not a zigzag. It's a straight line. There's some kind of coherence to this miscellany of poems.
So the Candlelight Master knows where he's going, so just stick with him.
That's right, yeah.
So the opening poems are about painters. There's Matisse trying to complete a mosaic by getting his assistants to put the little pieces of beautiful paper in certain positions. Then there's Pierre Bonnard, who's bedbound and he's relying on his nephew to just change a few things in the painting. And then you have the image of William Orpen poised at the rim of a bomb crater. Is that what it's like? Are you talking about the older poet there, Michael? Are you making parallels between yourself and these artists?
Well, yes, I am interested in the art that the older people might produce. You know, the Matisse was confined to a wheelchair, and he didn't have very long to live, and yet he produced some of his greatest work. And Bonnard, I admire enormously, and he was anxious about a particular painting when he was bedbound, and got his nephew to add a little bit of colour. I think poetry, the arts, if you like, poetry is produced by young people. And also by old people, by the pensioners. And I think of Verdi and Janáček and Thomas Hardy and W.B. Yeats. I'm now 81, for God's sake. And yet, since Christmas, I have written more poems than I would normally write in 2 or 3 years. And that gives me enormous pleasure and satisfaction. And in a way, that poem I read salutes that fact, you know, the still at it at 81.
And do you approach writing poetry in a different way? There, Matisse is looking for his assistants to help him. Bonnard is also looking for his nephew. I mean, you have no need of assistance. So do you see any parallels in inspiration or the way you approach poetry?
No, I have to wait for poems. I once said, and it has been quoted, I modestly say, that if I knew where poems came from, I would go there. Well, I don't know. I really don't. I have no idea. I mean, there were 10 years in my 40s, nearly 10 years, when I didn't write a damn thing. And I don't know. I don't know where the muse disappeared to. And I don't know why she came back. And I really sit with my fingers crossed, hoping that the muse doesn't desert me ever again. But, I mean, at the moment, I mean, I touch wood when I say this, at the moment, the poems are coming. And I have to wait for them. And in my youth, I used to work very hard. And I think that was because I started to write a poem too soon. And it had to go into an incubator like a premature baby. Now my sense of timing, I think, is better, and I write when the poem seems ready to be born, and it's oddly satisfying not to have to work quite so laboriously as I used to. In fact, writing poems at the moment in my life is a joyous and happy and relatively carefree experience.
That's wonderful. That is just wonderful. There's a poem called The Sedge Warblers, and that's a bird that some people call the Irish nightingale. Is that right?
Yes, I think so. Certainly in my poem, they do. Do you want me to read this one?
Yes. Do you want to tell us the connection with your friend first of all, or would you like to read it first and tell us then?
No, no. I'll say that it's about my dear friend Seamus Heaney, and as most people know, he's buried in a little place called Ballaghy, and in the poem I refer to Callimachus, an ancient Greek poet, and his lamentation for his friend Heraclitus. Sedge Warblers. Callimachus joins me at your grave, who shed tears for Heraclitus and said his poems were nightingales that death would never lay hands on. There are no nightingales in Ireland, but sedge warblers sometimes sing at night and are mistaken for nightingales. So death, that snatches at everything, will leave untouched in Ballaghy your poems, the sedge warblers' song.
That's lovely. That's lovely. That's the Sedge Warblers from Michael Longley's new collection, which is called The Candlelight Master. Michael, you return to themes you've explored in your poetic life, that of war, and you go back to the Trojan Wars and the Iliad by Homer, and you talk about the interfamily murder that happened there in the poems War, Glory and Xenotus. What is it you're exploring there again in this collection?
Well, I'm obsessed by war, partly because my dad fought in two world wars. Well, he fought in the trenches in the First World War, and he served again. He joined up again in the Second World War, and he was a brave soldier. He was decorated, and I wish I'd talk more to him. So a lot of my poems are the conversations with him that I wish I had had. And then I find as a sounding board, the Iliad is a quite extraordinary work of art. And I think it's the greatest poem, certainly the greatest poem that I know about war and death. And these themes, combining as they do in some of my poems, are for me bottomless, endless. And I'll be writing such poems, I trust and hope, until the end of my life.
You also have a great love of the natural world, and I know you love the West of Ireland. The poem you're going to read now is called Prince. And it's,
yes.
Tell us a little bit about that before you read it.
Well, again, it's rather short, you know. But among the guardian spirits of the Corrigskuon, the little place where we go, among the guardian spirits are the otters we see from time to time, blessedly beautiful creatures. And this is about discovering on the strand about a dozen otter prints coming from God knows where and going God knows where. Mysterious prints. Between sand dunes and sea, under a cloudless sky, a dozen otter prints going nowhere, it seems. Mwilray in the distance, white after last night's fall. Where will the otter go out of the blue this day, over the sand and snow?
Prince there from The Candlelight Master by Michael Longley. Michael, elsewhere there's poems that touch on family and also poems that explore the memories of your childhood. Like, I was fascinated by primary school, where you were really picturing being back in the classroom. And there you talked about your twin brother. And I think you have elegized him in a previous collection, The Stairwell. But you write a beautiful poem about him, your twin brother, in the poem Brothers. He is a constant presence in your life, isn't he?
Well, being a twin's a big deal, and losing a twin is a big deal. And we went our separate ways as teenagers and as young men. I went to Trinity and started to try to be a poet. He was a marine engineer traveling the world in oil tankers, and but the mysterious and wonderful thing for me was that as we got older, as we went into middle age, and we realized how much we had in common, and we got closer. And I was with him when he died. I was holding his hand when he died, and I thought at the time I would love to write an elegy for him. And lo and behold, I managed to write 23 elegies for Peter, which appeared in that book you mentioned, The Stairwell. This poem called Brother quotes from a famous poem by the Latin poet Catullus, with the famous motto, Hail and Farewell. And I'll read it for you now.
Thank you.
Brother, that Catullus line, multas per gentes, applies to you, my marine engineer, circumnavigating the globe, and me following you in my imagination across many a sea to speak in vain to your ashes. My twin torn from my life, accept this elegy wet with my weeping. Steer your tanker towards eternity. "Greetings, dear sailor, my brother, goodbye."
That's wonderful. Brother there from The Candlelight Master, read by Michael Longley. My thanks to Michael Longley, and The Candlelight Master is published by Jonathan Cape.